May all I say and think be always acceptable to thee, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Thank you, please sit. So, Palm Sunday, start of Holy Week, when we remember Christ's suffering as he traces his final steps to the glorious role that has always been his destiny. Holy Week has been part of the Church's pattern of celebration since very early times. Across the world, whether Roman Catholic or Eastern Orthodox, Lutheran or Anglican, all those different versions in the United States, India, Ukraine or Russia in more normal times, you will find Palm Sunday being celebrated. Just one proviso. Western and Eastern churches usually celebrate the start of Holy Week on separate occasions. This year, it's not until April the 17th for the Eastern Church this year. It'll be not until 2025 that the whole of Christ's Church will share the same date on Palm Sunday. It's all to do with differing calculations that determine the date of Easter Day. Now, the whole significance of Palm Sunday rests upon two prophecies in Zechariah. I think that's the second to last book in our Old Testament. Firstly, on that day his feet shall stand on the Mount of Olives, just as reflected in the second verse of our Gospel reading. And perhaps I like to imagine when Jesus might also recall how he wept for Jerusalem. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often have I desired to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings. From the mount, Jesus then instructs two of his disciples to fetch him a colt from the village ahead. Instruction to them to say, "The Lord needs it," would seem to be a coded message to the owner of that colt, a constituent part of a carefully pre-planned symbolic entrance into Jerusalem by Jesus and his disciples. So we can then move on to Zechariah's second prophecy. "Shout aloud, O daughter Jerusalem, lo, your king comes to you. Triumphant and victorious is he, humble and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. And he shall command peace to the nations. His dominion shall be from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth." And Luke also records part of Psalm 118, which you'll find on your sheets. That Psalm 118 is the song of a conqueror. "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." Luke has the people spreading their cloaks. Other gospels have them spread palm leaves or rushes. If one is in a colder climate with no palms to hand, Ukraine and Russia, for example, then pussy willow and box twigs are strewn instead. If somewhere warmer, like India, they use marigolds. All are impulsive and instinctive reactions by the crowd, recollecting their own traditions to grace the path of a conqueror. For example, you can find in the second book of Kings a parallel example when Jehu, the son of Jehoshaphat, is anointed king of Israel, and his followers throw down their cloaks to honor his path. Solomon had palm branches carved into the doors and walls of his temple. And likewise, it was a tradition that a king would ride a horse to war and a donkey if returning in peace. Let's hope there's a few donkeys about in Ukraine. So if the crowd had been expecting a stallion and the start of a rebellion against Rome, they were disappointed. Jesus is declaring by his entry that he comes in peace, riding on the colt of an ass, the foal of a donkey. That reference I gave to Zechariah's prophecy will be obvious to those well-versed in scripture in that crowd. John devotes a third of his 21 chapters in his gospel to the space between Palm Sunday and Good Friday. Why should the entry of Jesus, with his smallish band of followers, provoke such interest, such uproar, if this is his first visit to Jerusalem? Witness that verse you heard in the gospel. Some of the Pharisees in the crowd say to him, "Order your disciples to stop." Well, for a start, it certainly isn't Jesus' first visit to Jerusalem. John records others. Verse 25 of Psalm 118, which is on your pew sheet, reads, "Save us, we beseech thee, O Lord," for which the original Hebrew is Hosanna. That's what the word means. Save us, we beseech thee. And verse 26 of that psalm reads, "Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord." Matthew, Mark, and Luke record the crowd as saying precisely the same thing, which is just another way of saying, "Blessed is the Messiah, the anointed one of God." There will be many who have heard of Jesus, his teachings, and his miracles. They may have seen and heard him on his previous visits. There will be many in the crowd who know their scripture well enough to be able to recognize the reference to Zechariah. So this is what that great prophet meant. Their Messiah was not to be a man of power and aggression, but a man of truth and humanity, exactly like this man Jesus. They would not have to look far for a description of such a Messiah. Jesus himself quoted Isaiah's description of a servant of the Lord God. "The Lord God helps me. I gave my back to those who struck me. I did not hide my face from insult and spitting. It is the Lord God who helps me." All that is to come in the week ahead, commemorated by us in Holy Week. But today we remember that Christ enters Jerusalem on a donkey, quite deliberately, to fulfill prophecy. Does that idea seem somehow wrong to you? It shouldn't, because what it demonstrates is that Jesus recognized how the scriptures foretold his coming and realized the necessity to enact some of the practical details so that the people of Israel should be convinced of his appointment by God. And since those same scriptures told of his eventual execution, one can only marvel at his dedication, his complete obedience to his Father's wishes. This coming week, remember Gethsemane, where Jesus sweated blood. So great was his anticipation of the pain that he was having to go through, all to prove his Father's word. Amen. A little corollary. I've put some images for you to look at over your coffee after the service to reflect on the events we remember today. Two are just simply beautiful. The other two display my present sorrow